Church, you may be seated. Acts chapter 1. For those of you with your Bible. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. I have this order form in front of me, and it says shirts will be white imprint. So keep that in mind. I'm just loving the idea of somebody picking a white t-shirt with a white imprint. It just brings a certain level of joy to me. Well, that's a dry fit shirt, so that wouldn't work so well. But there is a solid white in the Bella. So white on white. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Words of Jesus spoken to the disciples, commanding them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift that they were unsure of what it was going to look like or be or sound like or feel like, or they just knew there was a gift coming, and he told them to wait for it. Sometimes you got to wait for it. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for our worship, Lord, that was totally directed to you, God. Singing about your goodness, singing about your greatness, singing about your love, singing about how you reign, singing about your power, singing about all that you are, God. Singing about how you're with us. That fourth man in the fire, Lord, we sang that today. Lord, may we continually remember that you're with us. Father, anoint eyes and ears and hearts and minds in this place today. That's my request. That anointing, God, that they will hear something different and see something different and receive something new. God, may there be some wisdom from you spoken today, Lord, for I know that my words need to come from you, God, and not from me. So anoint me with your words, Lord. I have no wisdom but the wisdom that you've given me. No knowledge but what you've blessed me with, God. So anoint me today to be your vessel. That is my request in Jesus' name. You could call this the birthday of the church, the happy birthday. You could call it, we could celebrate because this is the day that is credited as the birthday of the church, the day that the church started, the day that it was born, the day that it all began for the church. Before today, it had, in those 3 years before Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension into heaven, it had been about him and his establishment of the kingdom and his developing of the disciples and And it had been about all of those things. But from this point forward, from this day forward, it was going to be about the establishment of the church on earth, the church in Jerusalem, and to the farthest reaches of the world. And we've reached the point, I believe by now, 2,000 years later, that it's reached pretty close to every corner of the world. There are very, very, very few places left in this earth or on this earth that have never heard the name Jesus. There are some, I'm sure, but they are few and far in between. This is the day that changed everything. This is the day where everything really started. And it was today that the group of disciples that were gathered up in that upper room and the others that were with them went from a few to a many. I mean, it was where the growth of the church really started. It was a day where God did something amazing, and he did it publicly. He did not do it quietly or privately. He did it very publicly, where people could not deny that something had happened, though they may have had a difficult time explaining it. Explaining the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit is one of the more difficult things about our faith and our denomination, is explaining to someone who didn't grow up around it or is unfamiliar with it what it is, what it means, what it feels like, how they receive it, because it varies so much. The way I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is different from the way many of you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it was the way God knew I needed to receive it, because I was in my own way. I was in my own head trying to figure it out. I can't tell you the number of hours and the number of times I read through Acts and read through so many of the New Testament books and the writings of Paul, and how much research and how much time I spent diving into it, because I didn't understand it and I so desperately wanted to. And I would hear Pastor Hawkins talk about things, and I would be in there, and I'll never forget sitting there. And that's when I really learned to study, was listening to Pastor Hawkins, because I would go before where he was reading, and I would go after where he was reading, and I would read where he was reading. And I would try to figure out what this was saying to me, not just what he was saying to me. I wanted to see what the Word said to me and what the Word said about what Pastor Hawkins was teaching. And it took me so long, and I can remember so many conversations I had with so many people while I was going through that journey of exploration and trying to understand it, because I saw these things happening in the church and I didn't always understand them. I would hear a message of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. I would hear a prophecy, or I would hear somebody speak in tongues, and I would hear somebody interpret, and I would just sit there just trying to figure out what this is, how did I get here, and was this real and true, or was I caught up in some crazy place? And it was and was a crazy place, but it was real and true at the same time, most of the time. There are times where there were things that happened in my spirit, we might have gotten a little carried away at times. I remember a few of those. I was in a revival once, Lord Jesus. Barney was there, Lord have mercy. Tammy was there. But explaining it is so difficult. But isn't that just the way of the Lord sometimes? He tells us these things, he gives us these things, and you just look at Jesus and the way Jesus communicated, because there were so many times Jesus communicated in parables, and even the disciples, after he would speak, would be like, hey, Jesus, could you explain that to me? And it frustrated him a time or two. And he would say things like, y'all still don't understand? So my hope today is to explain a little more. Because I think that we are in a day and a time, and there is a generation that is hungry for something. I just believe that they're out there and they're hungry for something. And they're finding all kinds of other things. I mean, all kinds of other things to fill that ache or that spot. And very few of those things are good, right, healthy things for them to be doing. And they see us, especially us as Pentecostals, and they see what we do, and they see how we operate sometimes, and they think, wow, that's a little out there. And can I tell you that we're not quite as out there as I hope that we become someday? Like, I want us to get to that Acts 2 place and that whole book of Acts. Like, my hope, my heart, my desire is that we get to that place that the gifts are operating every single service, that we have tongues, we have interpretations, we have prophecies, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, that every gift of the Spirit is happening in this place on a Sunday morning, that when you walk in here, you go, what's he going to do today? What's going to happen today? That when you leave, that you're having to sit there and go, did I really see that happen? Did God really just do that? So if we look at the opening verses 4 and 5, we see that Jesus said, he said that John baptized with water in verse 5. John baptized with water, and that baptism was a cleansing. It was a washing away of sins. It was a baptism of repentance is what it was called. When John was first baptizing people, they said it was a baptism of repentance. People coming, asking for forgiveness, and being baptized. And the washing away of their sins. It's a moment where we can be changed, where we can be that new creation that the Bible talks about, the New Testament talks about. And that was the entire purpose of the water. And Jesus is pointing to that moment when he's talking to the disciples, telling them, you need to wait for something. And he's telling them it's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. Because it's going to be a baptism, but it's not going to be a baptism of repentance. It's not going to be a baptism where you're going to be cleaned and washed white as snow. It's going to be a different kind of baptism. In fact, there's translations that call it, you'll be baptized with fire and with the Holy Spirit. It just depends on the translation you read. But he's saying you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit in verse 5. And he said it'll happen not many days from now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for repentance. And if it's not for repentance, then the question is, what's it for? What's the purpose? What's the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is this such a big thing and such a big deal? And a lot of us, maybe not a lot, some of us, would probably get the answer wrong if somebody said, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? Because some of us would instantly go to, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And some of us would answer that question, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for? We would say, well, it's for power. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that idea of power, but I don't believe that the power is what it was about. It wasn't just about the power. It was really, well, let me back up for a second. When I think about power, I think about electricity. I think about horsepower, right? I think about strength. I think about lifting cars and jumping buildings. And when I think power, I think this Schwarzenegger, right? This you know. That you just think of, when you think power, when it comes to men, you think of that kind of a thing. And it's not the ability to make you leap over buildings. It's not giving you the ability to lift cars. Though there have been people that have reported that in a time of crisis, the Spirit came on them and they could do those things. Praise God. But I still don't believe that's what it was about. Acts 1, 7 and 8 says, he said to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. The purpose of the Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses. It is to empower us to be witnesses of crazy things, in crazy things and through crazy things. I say crazy because when they happen, people who are unfamiliar think that they're crazy. Like the first time I saw Tammy and I were engaged to be married, and the man that was doing the wedding pastored a church here in town, and so we visited the church. And man, oh man, I couldn't get out of there fast enough, because like in my mind, in my non-spirit-filled mind, they're holding people down up front, pouring oil on them and praying for them and speaking this weird language, and people are shouting, and man, it was crazy. And my little non-Pentecostal self, whoo, Lord Jesus, we got to go. We can't be here no more. We've got to go. They might want to hold me down next. Yeah, I needed it then probably more than I need it now. It is to show the supernatural power of God. See? He empowers us to show his supernatural power. God has always been supernatural and always will be supernatural. And throughout the entire Bible, you have read about him doing supernatural things. And then there was a period of time for about 400 years before the birth of Jesus that he wasn't doing those things. He wasn't talking to the Jews. He was kind of letting them do their own thing. They had turned their back on him so many times and went the way they wanted to go so many times that he finally said, that's what you want, that's what you get. Go your way, do your thing. Have fun, enjoy yourself. And then he brought Jesus to the earth. And then Jesus started doing supernatural things. The power of the Spirit is a supernatural thing. And we get to experience that supernatural thing. And the supernatural, when it comes to the things of God, is one of my most favoritest words that I could, it's just that thing, because I've always broken it, I'm not always, but I've broken it down in my mind. We say supernatural, and super means great, awesome, spectacular, yay, woohoo, and natural means that it's ordinary, normal, naturally occurring stuff. And so it's excitingly ordinary stuff. It should be something that we grow so accustomed to that we don't even pay attention to it anymore. Like we notice it, we acknowledge it, but we aren't freaked out or scared of it like I was the first time I started seeing it happen. When you see it so much, it becomes, that's just a part of church, right? And that's the way in my mind that was what the first century church became from this day, from the day of Pentecost forward. It was a church where they would show up and they would meet, and God would do whatever God wanted to do or needed to do for whoever was there that time. And Jesus was the first one that started it before they even had the church going. We sometimes overlook or we forget, or there are people who just say, well, the Old Testament is just a book of history. It just, if you're going to study it, it's just history. It doesn't apply today. But God was just as supernatural in the beginning as he is today. And we need to be reminded of his supernatural powers and his supernatural being, because he was supernatural when he spoke everything into creation. And if he wants to speak something into creation, he can do it today. If he wants to speak something over your life, he can do it today and start a new creation in you. And he can do it whenever he wants to, however he wants to. And when we start to become accustomed to the supernatural, I think maybe we'll start to see more of the supernatural. When Jesus started doing the things that he was doing, he was really freaking people out. You see it all over the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament. You see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the quote-unquote religious guys, were the ones that were constantly mad at him and constantly offended by him because he was doing supernatural things. Because you weren't supposed to do that. You weren't supposed to do supernatural things. God's not been doing supernatural things for 400 years. Who are you to start showing up and doing these supernatural things? Saying, be healed. Saying, take up your mat and walk away. Saying, hey, lady that just, who touched the hem of my garment? Somebody just touched the hem of my garment. Who is it? Oh, your faith has made you whole. You're healed. And they just constantly were just in an uproar, upset, mad at him because he was doing supernatural things. Well, he was the Son of God. Of course he could do supernatural things. But I still think, and I will always think until my last breath, that was passed on to us. That the ability, the opportunity for us to even do supernatural things is there for us through the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The supernatural is not dead. He is alive. He is active and moving. And when we were singing earlier, and I said, you know, when we can sing healer, we can sing redeemer, we can sing these things. And I'm going to believe forever that my mom can be healed. And there are other people in my family who may not believe the same way. And I'm okay with being seen as the crazy Pentecostal guy that thinks that cancer can be healed. Because I'd rather believe that than my God is dead. I would rather go to my mother's funeral believing that healing was still possible. I'd rather go to that funeral believing she could get up out of that casket. I'd rather go there believing that's possible than to believe that my God is dead. I'd rather be seen as the crazy guy who thinks that God can do anything. Because the book that I read shows me God can do anything. And it tells me that nothing's impossible with God. And you can see it from Moses parting the seas to Samson and all of the feats of strength that Samson did, to him speaking through the prophets, through the talking donkey and the floating axe head, through Elijah and Elisha and the things God did through David and the way God spoke through Solomon, and then the miraculous birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. And the supernatural power was shown in Jesus even at a young age. You remember Mary and Joseph's great parenting moment? Where they forgot him? Because he was in the temple and he was teaching in the temple at like 11, 12 years old or how? I mean, like a young man. And he's teaching in the temple, and all of those around that are listening to him are amazed at how he's teaching and the way he's teaching and what he's saying. And 3 days later, Mary and Joseph go, hey, don't we have a son somewhere? 3 days. Most of you, hopefully all of you, better parents than that, you'd at least remember by the second day that you had a kid. Maybe. And then Jesus continues to grow up. And then Mary, you wonder, I'm probably weird, okay? And it's okay. Because there aren't a lot of things spoken about Jesus and what he did other than that moment from his birth to the time that they show up at the wedding and Mary says, hey, Jesus can do something about that wine problem you've got. There's not a lot reported in there. Not a lot written about that period of time, that first 30 years of his life. But you see in Mary's reaction to them running out of wine at the wedding, you see that she had a faith in Jesus that was above and beyond even what your most delusional soccer mom has today about their child. Right? Some of those, you know who I'm talking about, some of you. That mom that thinks their child never did anything wrong, right? We have video of them kicking the other kid in the face. And the mom says, not my kid. But it's on video. Well, but that other kid started it. He was laying on his back on the ground. How did he start it? He just did. She shows this faith in Jesus. And you could say, I guess you could say that it came from the angel showing up, but I just believe that there probably were things that Mary saw Jesus do that other kids weren't doing, right? And I've jokingly said before, you know, maybe it was she was trying to give him a bath and get him in the water, and he just kept running across the bathwater. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure there were things that she saw him do that she knew other kids weren't doing. And maybe it was because she had other kids, Jesus had a brother James, you know, and James wasn't Jesus, so James couldn't do what Jesus did. He was like the worst, Jesus was the worst big brother ever for James. Why can't you be like your brother, right? Because I'm not Jesus. And that's the best answer you could ever give, because I'm not Jesus. I give that answer today. And not about my brother. But you see that moment and she's just like, yeah, my son Jesus can do something about that. Where did all that faith come from for her? Just the angel? Or do you think she saw him do things? Maybe he had healed something in her. Maybe, I don't know. But I just believe she knew who Jesus was and had seen him do supernatural things. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. I think if we examine each one of those gifts, that we would see every one of those gifts is to be used as a witness to the supernatural power of God. Because when he speaks, when someone speaks a word of wisdom in the church, and you can feel it, I don't know if you've ever seen it, you've ever been in the midst of it, but when somebody speaks a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge in the church during service, even during prayer meeting or whatever, you can feel it. When somebody gives a message in tongues and it's genuine and it's legitimate, you can feel it. and you don't have a clue what they're saying. With a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, it may not apply to you, and you may be sitting there trying to figure it out. It may apply to somebody else. But it is a witness to the power of God, to the ministry, to what God has called us to, who He is. Like I will forever tell you that I witnessed the supernatural power of God in this church, right back there where Sister Trudy's sitting, when Emmett Spencer called me and my family out at a revival meeting. I never met the man in my life, and he called us out and he started speaking things over our life. And I don't think a single one of the things that he spoke has ever been proved false. Because God has done everything that man said that God was going to do. And he started to speak about conversations that the Lord and I had been having. And I remember Tammy looking at me going, is that true? Is she'd look at Emmett and listen to him, and she'd look at me and go, is that true? And I would say, yeah. Why didn't you tell me? We'll talk about that later. But, and then he would keep going, and she's like, is that true? I would say, yes. She said, why didn't you? Why? And he just kept going and speaking things over my sons and our finances and our relationships, and just over and over and over and over again. And I know it was the supernatural power of God, because there is no way that man knew about any of that. My wife didn't even know about it. My pastor sure didn't know about it. And the greatest thing in the world for me at that moment was, I knew, because of how close we were to Leroy and Lita, how frustrated Leroy was because Brother Spencer wouldn't meet with him, wouldn't talk to him before the service. He would not. He refused. He said, I want to walk in there a clean slate. I want to walk into your church a clean slate. I don't want to know anybody's name or what's going on in the church. And Pastor Hawkins was like, well, but can we talk about... He had a person that Pastor Hawkins was dealing with, and they would just say no. No. And I knew that. And so when that man walked in this place and started speaking these things, calling out my family, man, oh man, I knew it was God. I knew it was God. It was the witness. It was that empowered witness that this man had. Knowledge that he could not have had from anywhere other than it being a supernatural thing. On the day of Jesus, or on the day of Pentecost, not the day of Jesus, that's another day. Since Jesus had ascended, the world needed a new witness. Since Jesus wasn't there to do the miracles that he had been doing anymore, the world needed a new witness to see the supernatural power of God. And so God sent the Holy Spirit to be that supernatural witness of the supernatural power of God. It was designed for the world to see that God is still active, powerful, alive, moving. He cares. He has the ability to do anything, to fix anything, to change your life, to change your home, to change your family, your job, your finances. He has the ability to affect anything that you ask him to affect. He can touch anything you ask him to touch. Even the most difficult, seemingly out of reach things, God still has the ability to touch. And we have to believe it. Because other places aren't believing it. Other churches even, other denominations, don't believe that God is still supernatural and still wants to do supernatural things. They think all that's done and over with. I am grateful to be a part of a church that still believes that God can do supernatural things. It is a power, but it is a power with a purpose. It's not a power without purpose. It's not electricity with nothing plugged into it. It is there for us to be plugged into, to be that witness that he's called us to show the world that God still cares, God still loves, God still moves. And it is to glorify him and impact the lives of others. Acts 2:7-8 says they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? That is the exact thing that I'm trying to communicate. The power of the Holy Spirit was shown right there to all of those around. That was a witness to all of those around. They said, hey, I know those guys are from Galilee, but they're talking my language. Talking my language. Right now, if I started speaking Portuguese, Brother Ronnie would know, because I've tried to speak a little bit of it to him. He would know it had to be the power of God, because I can't speak. I can say oi, and I can say a couple of other things, but if I just started speaking to him in Portuguese, he would know it had to be the power of God, because I couldn't do it otherwise. And that's what happened. It was that witness to show those around them, and it was the spark that started everything for the church from then on. And when the church would go forth, the supernatural things would happen. When they would meet together, they'd be supernatural things. And they would meet together again, there'd be more supernatural things. I'm praying for supernatural things, man. I'm believing for the power of the supernatural to start to become manifested in the church more and more and more. Can I tell you, the last few weeks in worship, man, I feel like we've just been on the brink of just breaking loose, man. It's been so good. And so powerful. It's been amazing. And I felt the Spirit of God and the power of God. And man, so many things contribute to that. A lot of it is the worship team and the way they're approaching some things. Having Sarah back doesn't hurt. Having a team that shows up and is united together. Man, what you can do when you're united together. Trying to help each other out. Seeing where one's struggling. Hey, let's see what we can do to fix that. How can we help make that better? How can we help make that easier? And it has impacted our worship, our services. I know Robert's already prayed for people to receive the Holy Spirit, and that was a right, good, and an amazing thing to do. Sometimes I think we see the Holy Spirit as something that we can't achieve because we're not holy. We can't receive because we're not good enough. We've made too many mistakes. We're still making mistakes. We're not in the right place. We're not in the right frame of mind. We don't even know for sure if it's real or still a thing or not, because we grew up believing it wasn't, or whatever. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray in a way that I believe that anybody who wants it can receive it. But let me tell you before I pray, it was weeks after I was prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit before I actually was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was weeks before it happened for me. So when it says, When Jesus commanded them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift, I understand the idea of waiting for the gift. But nobody told me I might have to wait. So I spent weeks thinking there was something wrong with me. That I wasn't doing this hard enough or well enough, or my relationship with God wasn't good enough, or I wasn't good enough, or whatever. I spent weeks struggling with it. And then just in my work vehicle, in a time of prayer, driving down the road, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Whether it happens today, or it happens in weeks, or days, or hours, or months, know that it has so much less to do with you and so much more to do with God's timing. And maybe, as it was for me getting out of my own head and preventing myself, because I felt like I needed all of these things that I didn't have, and I needed all of this knowledge I didn't have. Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost to a group of believers together in a room. By the end of that day, they had added. They had multiplied by a great number from what they were. Multiplication would be great. But I would just take the Spirit. If you want to add multiplication on top of that, praise God. Gracious Heavenly Father, there are those here today that have been baptized with your Holy Spirit, myself included. And I'm thankful for all of those believers, for all of those that have received that. And Lord, there may be some today who have received it in the past, but have not operated in that gift, in any of those gifts in a long time. Lord, could I ask for a supernatural infilling, a reoccurrence, God, a refreshing, a renewing of that gift within them. As Brother Robert said earlier, it is without repentance. It will not be removed. I know that gift still remains within them, Lord. I just ask that it would be renewed and refreshed. And Father, there are those today who need the power to witness, who need to experience the supernatural power of you, God Almighty. Those that have never would say that they've never felt that supernatural power before, never experienced it for themselves. Lord, I believe your word says that you are our provider. And so, Father, if they are hungry for that infilling, that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, if they have that hunger today as they're praying, not just as I'm praying, but as they're praying. Those right now that are praying, Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit now? Would you fill me with your Spirit today? God, I ask that you would. And Father, I'm not going to lay hands on them because I want them to see that it's your supernatural power, it's your supernatural gift that you give to all those who would seek it, who would ask for it, God, that they would not seek the gift, but they would seek you, and that in return for their seeking you, that you would give them that gift. And Lord, we do not choose our gifts, but you give them as you see fit. So, Father, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Fill them, Lord. Speak through them. Use them. Give them that power to witness. Give them that supernatural power. That they would use it, not for their glory, but for yours. Not to gain honor for themselves, but to give honor to you. That it truly is all about you. Father, I thank you. God, I praise you and I bless you. Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Oh, yes. Father, as we leave this place, God, we give you room, but I also, God, ask that you would bless us. You would keep us, guide us, protect us, Lord God. Yes, God. Yes, God. In Jesus' name, amen.